Assistant Srinil Neelamani, verse 31, Nayak Bade, different kinds of heroes and heroic aspects of Krishna's romantic personality. And we're talking about the Anukul Nayak, the very faithful Nayak. And Rupa Goswami Pad is quoting different verses of different personalities, gopis, and Radharani speaking about Krishna or speaking about these qualities of Krishna as a hero. And in that way we try to understand from these descriptions. So this is text 31. Satyam me pariritya tavaka sakim prema vadattam mano nanyasmin pramat ajaneshanam api swapne visankalpate saragrahini gauri sadguna guru mukta yalikodyame mudram kim numai yanakshi lalite gurdhav yasuyami maim. Verse 31, chapter 1. This is Krishna speaking to Lalita, because obviously he's trying to defend himself to Lalita to explain how he's very clear and very faithful and pure-minded. So he wants to convince the opposition that Lalita should remove her embargo and allow Krishna to trade with Radharani. Preceding the statement of Krishna, Lalita accosted Krishna on a forest path after seeing that Krishna had met with some other gopis. Then Lalita accuses Krishna of being unfaithful towards Radha. To this, Krishna replied, "O saintly," this, see how he starts, "O saintly, fair complexion, Lalita." Sounds very familiar. Men are flattering ladies all the time to get something done. "O saintly, fair complexion, Lalita, you are free from all duplicity, and you are the spiritual master of all those persons who are filled with saintly qualities." I'm not sure whether this is praise or rebuking or whether sarcasm. It sounds a little sarcastic to me. But somehow he's trying to say that with all sincerity and with a straight face, hoping that Lalita won't see through the sham. See through the sham of sham. Sham is showing a sham, which means a fake show. "You're really saintly." It's like telling somebody from the mafia. Of course, I mean, Lita's not from the mafia. Well, maybe. It may seem that way sometimes. "Please tell me now. My mind is glowing with love for your Sakhi Radha. And my mind does not desire any other gopi at any other time. Even for a moment, even in my dreams, when I'm sleeping at night. But why have all my good qualities suddenly left me?" Krishna is saying, my mind, okay, that's fine. Even I dream at night, why does this concealed jealousy rise within me? That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, whatever. So somehow, basically, these particular words of Krishna being spoken to Lalita are being spoken, first of all, to convince Lalita that he's clean, that he's faithful, honest, true, and loyal to his beloved Radharani, which I hope he, good luck, Krishna. But then, and otherwise, it shows that what Rupa Goswami is saying by this incident, it shows the anukulya nature of the hero, that he's so much faithful, and he's trying to say, "Listen, even in my dreams, I don't even see anyone or talk to anyone. What to speak of when I'm awake? My mind is totally absorbed in my love for Radharani." This guy lies through his teeth and smiles at the same time. I mean, it's such a bewitching and attractive smile that you forget everything in the world. But then at the same time, he's cutting you with his lies. It's very difficult to deal with this person. So Jiva Vishnu says, Krishna's nature is anukul because his mind does not desire any other women. Here in this verse, Krishna is boasting by listing his good qualities to Lalita. He says, I haven't done anything wrong to Radha. I haven't done anything to displease her. Besides, listen, Lita, you should know, I never look at any other woman on the pathway. You are simply uselessly finding faults in me. This shows Krishna's deceit and anger. Oh, so Krishna's envy is shown by his accusing Lalita. That's interesting. Because he's saying, Lalita, why are you accusing me of being unfaithful? So Vishnu says that shows he's a little envious of her. That's beyond me. But so this is the anukul, examples of anukul hero and the anukul nature of being a faithful, chivalrous hero or a faithful, carefree hero or a faithful, all those four kinds of heroes that we had. What was it? Carefree and chivalrous and peaceful and arrogant. So that, in other words, it's faithful, but then there's the Krishna, Dhir Lalita being faithful and Dhirodatta faithful. So he gave examples of each. Now he's going to talk about the second type of temperament, which is the Dakshin. And the Dakshin of these categories, there's Anukul and Dakshin and Drishta and Shatta. I think this is how it is. So then he defines Dakshin, Rupa Goswami, and then he gives an example of that in a small it's all little dialogues. And of course, each of these dialogues, it's one gopi to another, one gopi to Radharani, or Krishna to a gopi, or a gopi to Krishna, or Krishna to Radharani. It's only a few lines of dialogue and some particular setting or lila that you can trace it out even to a particular time of the day within the context of Astakali lila, and even a particular place. It's possible. But in general, he wants to show by this small interlude of Lila exchange, he wants to illustrate these heroic features of Krishna. So this is the Dakshin. And everyone's familiar with enough, I think, that oftentimes we hear that Radharani and her sakis like Lalita, they're Prakara. Prakara means, or Bhamya, we say Bhamya. Bhamya Prakara. Bama Madhya or Mridu. So this Bamya means left wing. Left wing gopis means contrary, not submissive. They play hard to get and they're very resisting, and externally they show disinterest and I'm not interested in you. I didn't come here to meet you. I came to pick flowers. Just get away. I'm doing Surya Puja. I'm not interested in you. Manjari, take these flowers. Where'd he go? I'm not interested in you. So outwardly, like Radharani and other gopis, or this category of Bhamya gopi, they show this kind of disinterested mood, attitude. But Chandravali, she is depicted or described as Dakshin, which means submissive. And so tolerant and submissive of all the idiosyncrasies and errant behavior of her hero that she'll tolerate anything. She's so submissive, even if she's finally meeting Krishna at a kunj, and Gauri kunj or Gauri Tirtha or Sakhi Parvat, Sakhi Stali. Chandravali is an all her assistant. Sakis have arranged for her to finally meet intimately with her beloved Krishna, and they spend some time together, some very sweet moments, and maybe hours. And then during that time, Krishna may sleep, fall asleep, or even when he's half asleep, half awake, and external consciousness in the joy and bliss of Madhurati with Chandravali, then he sometimes even looks at Chandravali and he says, "Oh Radha, Radha, oh Radha, Radha," and she blows up inside. She's burning inside. What, you know? What are you saying? You know, Radha, Radha. But then she says, "Anyway, you're here. You're with me, and so I can tolerate that." But if he said something like that to, if he was with Lalita, because he meets with intimately with Lalita, and they enjoy their loving pastimes together, and if by chance Krishna said, "Pad Shaivya, Shaivya, Shaivya," oh, I don't know what would happen to him. I don't know what would be left of Krishna. He would get liberated, I think. She would liberate him right on the spot. So the different nature, the dakshi, the bhamya. So sometimes Krishna becomes like Chandravali. He becomes a dakshi, a nayak, a compliant, submissive lover. Yagoravam payam prema dakshinyam purayoshiti namunchatyanyachitopi geyoso kaladakshinaha tatyam chandravali katayasi prikshiti na vyalikam sapnepyas ya twahi marubida prema shudantarasya shrutvajapam pishun pishuna manasam tadviruram sakinam yukta kartum saki savinaye natra vishram babanga vishram babanga natra vishram babanga. Rupa Goswami, first he defines the dakshin nayak, the compliant, submissive lover, then he gives an example. The dakshin nayak, the submissive romantic lover, is a person who, though being with a new lady love, cannot give up or free himself from his affection and respect and consideration and fear of his previous lover, which is caused by the dakshin bhava, by the softness of his nature. So Krishna is with some other gopi, but he's remembering, as I already mentioned, he's remembering Radharani, or he's a little fearful that, oh, what if Radharani catches me with Chandravali? Because she's so prevalent in his consciousness. So there's an example here. This is verse 32 I read, now verse 33 I read also, another translation, which is better here. Here, Nandimukhi is speaking to Chandravali. So Nandimukhi is on Krishna's team, on Radharani's side. Well, let's say Krishna so much. Yeah, Krishna also, but she's on Radharani's team and not Chandravali's. So one fine day, Nandimukhi met Chandravali and she said, "Oh Chandra, you speak the truth. It is easy to see no duplicity has ever been found in Krishna. Krishna is not cheating you. Pure-hearted Krishna loves you at every moment, even when Krishna is asleep and dreaming. My dear humble friend," well, then let's say Sakhi, I suppose, "my dear humble Sakhi," Virudam Sakhi, Navyukta Kartam Sakhi, "oh, Savinayi, Sakhi Savinayi," Savinayi means humble, "please do not believe, please don't believe, Chandra, don't believe those lies you have heard from those envious, backbiting, scandal-loving, gossip-monger gopis." That's very nice. That's very nice, because you know what just happened. Nandimukhi met Chandravali directly, the prime minister of the whole anti-party. It says right here, it says Virud. Virudam, Virudam Sakinam. Virud or Virod in Bengali, or Virud in Hindi or Sanskrit. Virud means very rude. V means very, and rude means rude. R-U-D-E, very crass and coarse and unmannered and ill-behaved. And that's pretty much sums it up, because Virud The virudh or virodh means against, anti-party, my enemies, the rival gopis, the virudh party, or we say vipaksha. Pakshi means my group, my paksha, my group, and vi means against my group. So this is, so that's Chandravali. So now Nandi Mukhi is saying very nice things here. She's defending Krishna's loyalty to Chandravali, that he's not cheating her, that he loves her so much. And then at the same time, Nandi Mukhi is taking a lot of digs. She's really criticizing and taking digs at Chandravali's confidants, because they're the gopis. She says, all these gopis that are telling you, all these gopis that are telling you things, different things about Krishna, that are telling you that he's a cheater, that he's not faithful, he's not loyal, he's not compliant, he's not dakshin. You know those any kind of gopis that talk bad about Krishna, or they say he sneaks off with Radharani or anything like this, any gopis that would even talk like that, do you know what I think they are? I think they're envious, backbiting, scandal-loving gossip mongers. So now what Nandi Mukhi just did is completely annihilate the entire ministry, the entire sucky ministry of the Prime Minister Chandravali. She just said that Padma and Shaibya and all your confidants and allies and all your asasakis, they're all backbiting, envious, scandal mongers. So she's face to face with the anti-party. So she lies on her face and says, Krishna loves you more than anything. But you're so lucky, you're so great and fortunate. But all your friends are a bunch of envious, demoniac rascals, which means you are too, because you're judged by your company. So if you're moving 24/7 with a bunch of dacoits, and then the police arrest you and say, I'm not a dacoit. These are my friends. These are your friends. Well, you drove the car, and they robbed the bank. No, but I drive cars, so I didn't know what they did. I don't know what they did. I was just driving the car. They're my friends. They didn't have a car, so I drove. But all the time you're with the dacoits. So you're a dacoit. You're judged by your associations. Nandi Mukhi is saying, you're all the time with Padma and Shabhi. You're also envious, which is true. And you're envious, backbiting, scandal-loving, gossip-monger gopi. God, it sounds like some ladies. Envious, loving, they love scandals. They gossip-monger. And ladies anywhere, even men for that matter, it doesn't really. In Kali Yuga, there's no gender difference in Kali Yuga. It's all it. There's no man and woman. It's unisex and unit it. Unit. There's one unit. You in it. Unit. UNIT. You in it. So everyone's in it. So you in it means there's one unit. Women and men wear the same clothes. They think the same way, walk the same way, treat each other the same way. Seems to me. So I don't think that you can say that any one negative quality. You can't say in Kali Yuga any negative quality applies to either gender. Because all men and all women all have negative qualities. And all have bad qualities. Manda Sumanda Matiyo, it says in the first canto of Bhagavatam. Manda Sumanda Matiyo. The 11th canto, he says in the beginning, at the very end, he says, Manda Manda Sumatiyo, Manda Bhagya Padrata. He said, everyone, men and women in Kali Yuga, are abhagya. They're unfortunate. They're disqualified. They have no good qualities. And they're slow and stupid. Amanda. And abhagya. Then 11th canto, he says, Kalera Doshan Hei Raja Nasti Ekamahavanan. He said, the whole Kali Yuga, we're all drowning in the ocean of dosh, and dosha nidhi. We're all full of faults. So this Nandi Mukhi is pointing out the faults of the gopis that Chandravali is associating with. And so by this conversation, this Rupa Goswami is illustrating the dakshin nayak quality of Krishna towards Chandravali by Nandi Mukhi defending his submissive, compliant nature for her. But actually, I had one note, just a little review of the Anukulya, because I took some notes, little small notes, review. So there's the Anukul, there's the Drishta, there's Anukul, Daksha, Drishta, and Shatta. Drishta, there's Anukul, Dakshina, Drishta, and Shatta. So that's ads, ADDS, ads, if you want to make it key. So then Anukul. So that's what we've been discussing for a few days, the four different varieties of Anukul heroes. The favorable, and he's the Anukul hero, he gives up. These are the bhavas, the moods and feelings. He gives up the desire for other attractive maidens because of externally, because of his extreme attachment to one Nayaka, which means Krishna towards Radha. So here in Gita Govind, Jayadeva Goswami has one entry where he says, and the commentators say that this represents that Dakshin Nayak mood. And here, I believe so. Oh, excuse me, I made a mistake. I mean, Anukulya, this is a review. In other words, the faithful lover. So I forgot to read this. So this is from Act 10, verse 13. And this shows the Krishna speaking to Radharani. Avyata yati vritta maunam tanvi prapanchaya panchamam tarani madura lapais tapam vinodaya dristibi sumuki vimuki bhavam tavad vimuncha namuncha mam svayam atishaya snikto mugde priyoyam upastita. O slender woman, Tarani, your futile adherence to silence is torturing me. O youthful one, sing out in the fifth musical note. Deliver me from this torment with your sweet conversation and compassionate glance. O, you whose countenance is so comely and beautiful, do not abandon me. Please give up your indifference toward me. O you who are bereft of proper discrimination, your affectionate lover is present before you. The commentary, so far, there's many statements like this. Krishna's praising him, Radharani. So far, this is one of many verses preceding this, Radharani has not responded to any of Krishna's suggestions. Now he appeals to her with courteous words. O slender woman, how emaciated you have become. Your silence is gnawing away at you and giving you so much pain to me, all for no reason. So this is an example of being very submissive and glorifying Radharani as a submissive hero. And we can read the next verse. Because now this is Dakshin. And that's just the definition and example of Dakshin. Jiva Goswami says a Dakshin Nayak means, in this particular mood or feeling, the hero is very soft and generous. And Vishnu Chakravarti says, the Dakshin cannot give up attachment to women for whom he has a great attachment, although he has new attachment to some other woman. This indicates, even though Krishna, he's with Radharani, he goes to all 16,000 gopis and dances and romances with all of them in the kunjas, and he's with them, and he's fully with them and fully satisfying them, and they're fully satisfying him, and all the beautiful exchanges of amorous love and enjoying in various beautiful ways and dancing and swinging and playing and wandering the forest and eating together and joking together and whatnot. But all the time, whenever Krishna is with any other gopi or any other woman, he's still in the back of his mind or front of his mind, he's still fully attached to Radharani. And that's what Vishnu is saying. Even though he's with another woman, he can't forget the previous one. So the previous one is the first one. And the first one is Radharani. First, last, second, last, everywhere. Although he moves with other gopis, he moves with other gopis, but his heart never moves away from Radharani. Text 34. There's another definition of the Dakshin. So far we heard the Dakshin is, a Dakshin lover pretends to love his new mistress with great respect and awe, even though internally within his mind he's thinking of another girl. He's known as Dakshin. And here they translate Dakshin as the insincere lover. So what's the difference between Dakshin and Anukulya? Anukulya is someone who is faithful in all circumstances to one person. So Krishna is always faithful to Radharani. But now when he adopts the mood of being Dakshin, he's compliant, but at the same time he's acting like he's submissive to the one he's with. But then still underneath that is his Anukulya nature. He's more favorable to another one. So that's why he says here he's insincere lover. The Anukulya, faithful lover, is sincere. But Krishna, he's double-talking. So that's part of this definition here, that he's with another gopi, but he's actually mentally, heartfully with the primary gopi, which will be Radharani. So next verse, we can read. This is like Brahma Samhita. Snata tishtati kunte shalarsita Vranga raja swasura Dyute ratrir iyam jita kamalaya Devi prasaradya cha Hityanta purasundari pratimaya Vigyaya vigyapite Devena pratipati mudamanasa Dvitra stittam nadika. Here, Rupa Goswami Pad is giving another definition, an example, how the Dakshin Nayak, he shows equal affection to many lovers. And he cites some rather esoteric shastra called Dasha Rupaka. Well, that's text 34 and 35. There's two verses. O Dwarkadish, king of Dwarka, your wife, the princess of Kuntaleshvara, has just taken her bath and she's waiting to receive you in her royal quarters. And some of your other wives, the sisters of Maharaj Angar, are also waiting for you in their quarters. Queen Rukmini, who has spent all night playing dice only to meet defeat at the hands of Kamala, is deeply in love with you. I have now called all your beautiful wives from their private quarters, and they are also eager to receive you. Although wherever you go, two or three beautiful wives are yearning for your embrace. You placidly ignore all of them. So this is an interesting, inconceivable quality. One can only accept what is being said. It's hard to perceive or understand all of that. This is the Dakshin lover, the definition we have collected here means one who is disposed, he's equally disposed toward many heroines. He does not give up his respect or submissive love for his previous beloved, even when he gives his heart to another beloved. So this is a little bit of a cheating type of lover, the Dakshinayak, that he's compliant, he's very submissive. Whereas the faith one, Krishna is in this mood of being Anukulya. He doesn't look at other gopis. He doesn't move with other gopis. He's just too faithful to Radharani. But now he's moving with other gopis and all the other gopis, but he's not forgetting Radharani. So it seems very similar, but he's with the other gopis and he's being very compliant and submissive and satisfying all their desires for joy and happiness and accepting all their various services and pleasing them. But then he's thinking, oh, I want to be with Radharani. That is Krishna is a very multifaceted and variegated personality. Very difficult to understand. So then that's that. And then because our commentator Vishnath doesn't say anything particularly different than the verse, we can read text 36. Text 36, chapter 1, this is another example of Krishna, the Dakshin. This is Padma. Padma is the anti-party, the rival party. Padma Drig Bangir Alam. That's, if you know Bengali, you know Sanskrit. Drig Bangir, from sidelong glance. She looked from the corner of her eye. Kalayati Kamala. Padma Drig Bangir Alam, Kalayati Kamala. Drimbati Sangha Bhangam. I'm not sure of the meter. Taradara Mulam Alpam, pratyati kurute karna kandam sukeshi shaivya nivyam vidatte karam iti yugapan madhava prayasimir pavain adu yamano bahu shikara manapashya kunto yamaste. Padma Sakhi, who is the chief Sakhi of Srimati Chandravali, she is splashing waves. She's splashing Krishna with the waves of her amorous glasses. That can be a little difficult to defend yourself. So beautiful. Because remember, Chandravali, no, Padma, that's not Chandravali, but they're very beautiful, extremely beautiful. So Krishna, now what's going to happen to this poor boy? He's just a 15-year-old boy, and some beautiful girl comes and splashes. And what does it say? It's splashing waves. He's just getting drowned and doused by the waves of her amorous desires from her eyes and face. Good luck, Krishna. I don't know what your chances are. What's the outcome? You want to gamble on it? I know we shouldn't gamble. So now that's one. And then another one, Kamala Sakhi, she's suggestively moving her limbs before Krishna in special ways, you know, that you know better than I. Tara is beginning to uncover her shoulders, like, you know, pull her, like, off-shoulder dress, you know, pull her choli off her shoulder. Oh, I have a scratch here. And pulls it down over her shoulder. And Krishna said, Sukeshi is scratching her ear. This is a standard one. Shaivya has placed her hand in a different place. And this way, in this place, all these gopis are simultaneously calling. In this way, all these gopis are simultaneously summoning Krishna. One of them was quite forward about her what's that word in Sanskrit? Indication. What is it called? Yeah, it's ingit. I-N-G-I-T-A. Yeah, yeah. Because it's like indication. So ingit, I-N-G-I-T-A, ingit may be the same in Hindi. It's just like, you know, just move your eye in a certain way and you give an indication that this means that. So this is what these gopis are doing. They're indicating their amorous romantic intentions and their coquettish mood towards Krishna. And one was quite explicit in her indication. This Shaivya. Because Shaivya is, we have Lalita Vishaka in Radharani's party, and we have Shaivya and Padma. So they're very sophisticated and they're fast. Krishna's mind has become distracted, but still he's ignoring all of them. So momentarily, the Sukeshi and Padma and Shaivya and Tara and Kamala, they all ganged up on Krishna with various erotic postures and gestures and glances. And Krishna was severely affected and very much attracted, as a young boy ordinarily would be. But he ignored all of them and kept walking on. Jai Ho, Jai Shri Krishna. Jai Shri, Jai Radhe. Jai Shri Radhe. So just see the power of. So Krishna's complying, that's apparently an example of the Dakshin expert compliant lover. But somehow he's interacting with them, but still maintaining his inner attachment to Radharani. So we'll continue tomorrow. These were the kind of mild, there's four of these type of heroic mentalities and modes of feelings and behaviors that Krishna shows as a romantic hero, transcendental romantic hero. And we heard two, okay, favorable, Anukul and Dakshin. And tomorrow we hear the two really good ones. I mean, Shatta, Drista and Shatta. The bold, arrogant lover and the cheating, lying lover. Those are the tough guys. So tomorrow we'll hear about that side of Gopal. Sweet little Gopal with the laddu in his hand stealing the makan, when he grows up, he becomes quite amazing. Ujjan Leela Maniki Jai.